It's beautiful being up the front here, hearing all the voices behind from both sides. It's really beautiful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to just prepare to come to your word, we pray that you will direct my words. We pray that you will work by your Spirit in each of our hearts. Help us to recognize more of the wonders of what we have in Christ, and to live for you and share that appropriately. Work in and through us, Lord, by your power, by your Spirit, for your glory, as we come to your word and bring honour to the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. So, if you've been here for quite a while, you might remember my eldest son, David. My son, David, is now in his mid-20s. Some of you know him. These days, Dave's married to Michaela, and they're living in Albany. Michaela played in the local AFLW team, the Albany Sharks, where David was helping out as assistant coach. So they're both in that photo. Michaela's down the line there, but Dave's the guy leaning forward, the second guy there. The Sharks made it to the finals. And then the week before the final started, the coach left. And suddenly David had to step up as senior coach. Now, when it's the finals, the pressure ramps up, but also the excitement ramps up. And so everybody wants to play. They cancel whatever else they had on, and they all want to play. Which means that suddenly there's a lot more people want to play, but the number of spots on the field doesn't go up. And suddenly people who have never been told that they couldn't play, you can't fit them all in. So on his first night on the job as coach, it was Dave's job to tell women who'd never been dropped from the team before that they were not going to be playing on the weekend. Some of the players, well, none of the players who were dropped were happy. Some of them were really not happy. I cannot believe it. How dare you say I'm not playing on the team? You're right. But the language got quite colourful. All the players were desperate to be out there. They wanted to be playing on the footy field in the finals. When it comes to evangelism, sometimes we can have the opposite approach to those footy players. The footy players were desperate to be the ones who were out there playing on the footy field. They didn't just want to be supported. They wanted to be out there. But often as Christians, when it comes to evangelism, we're scared to be out there on the field. Instead of saying, I need to be out there, you have to have me out there, we can often say, well, I don't need to be out there. I don't need to be playing on the evangelism team. And Pastor Dan talked about this a few weeks ago at the start of our May Mission Month. We're in the middle of May, towards the end of May Mission Month now. Many of us feel scared about sharing the gospel of Jesus. And then we get encouragements like Nicholas gave us today, and then a lot of us feel guilty about not sharing the gospel of Jesus and his death for us, his resurrection. Yes, we know people need to hear this wonderful news. But we think surely it must be somebody else's job. A lot of everyday Christians think they just don't know enough. They're worried they'll mess it up. So they think it's not their job to play on the evangelism team. Support the team, yes. Play on the field, no. Leave evangelism to the professionals. Professionals like pastors. You could say pastors are the professionals. Pastors, you know, I've been a pastor. You can get so busy caring for the people in the churches. A lot of pastors get stuck in a Christian bubble. Sometimes they don't know any non-Christians. So pastors think, well, evangelism's not for them. So who does play on the evangelism team? Maybe it's only people who are set apart or paid to be specialist evangelists. The late John Chapman was employed by his denomination to be an evangelist. And John would sometimes say that It seemed like he was the only person who didn't have an excuse not to be on the evangelism team. Can be very lonely out on the field by yourself, but everybody else had a reason not to, why evangelism was not for them. But that's not the way God intends it. God's intention is that everyone plays on the evangelism team. Everyone plays. Everyday Christians play just as much as skilled proclaimers. Everyone plays. God calls us all to be out there playing on our part in the evangelism team. So today we're looking at what I reckon is a super helpful passage of scripture. I've done quite a bit of reflection in my time on this little short passage. It's in Colossians chapter 4. But before we get there, let me tell you a bit about this section of the Bible we're looking at. It didn't just drop from nowhere. Our Bible reading today is from a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in a town called Colossae. As he wrote, the Spirit was working through him, but it was also Paul writing two particular people there. He's writing to the Christians in this town called Colossae, and just to the everyday Christians. This isn't a letter to the leaders, to some special group. This is just to the everyday Christians in Colossae, and he's heard about them, and he's encouraged because he's heard about their faith. Near the start of the letter, he writes, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you." So the Colossian Christians have heard about Jesus from another guy, I think his name starts with E, and are trusting in the Lord Jesus, and Jesus is changing their lives now and changing their lives for eternity. Paul writes to these everyday Christians, encouraging them to stick with Jesus and build their lives on Jesus. In chapter 2 he writes, "So that just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in Jesus, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness." And then in chapter 3 he writes, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Isn't that beautiful? I pray that everyone here will know Jesus as Lord. If you have not received Christ Jesus as Lord, first I want to say, welcome. It's wonderful to have you here, and I pray you keep investigating and learning more about Jesus. If you are trusting in Jesus, do you get what Paul's saying here? He is saying that spiritually you are already raised with Christ. And that is our reality now, and we look forward to appearing with Christ in glory. How good is that? Of course we want more people to know Jesus and the life he brings. We want people to enjoy the resurrection life with him. We're getting taste now and glory with him forever. Evangelism is part of being on God's team, changing lives forever. It's awesome. But so often we're not sure how we fit into God's evangelism team. Often we feel guilty about not doing more, but then we just feel stuck, not knowing how to start. We can get some wonderful tips on this from the passage Jess will come up to read now. Let's welcome Jess as she comes up to read from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6.
If you have the church Bible, it is page 823.
Next.
Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us, to that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Thank you. So what's the first thing we're called to do on God's evangelism team? Devote yourselves to prayer. Verse 3 starts, pray. Verse 4, pray, in case you didn't get it. See, I cannot change hearts, but God can. I am not the Messiah. Dan is not the Messiah. But Jesus is. So what should we do? Pray. Now, I admit that when I see a need or when I see an opportunity, my first impulse is to go, go, go. But a better place to start is to pray, pray, pray. And through Jesus, God always hears us. So we can pray anywhere as soon as we see that need or opportunity. And we're going to be hearing a lot more about prayer because next month, right, got Dan starting a series on prayer. Prayer is not something reserved for pastors or leaders or devoted prayer warriors. Praise the Lord for devoted prayer warriors. Prayer is for all of us. Here, this is just writing to the whole congregation, to everyday Christians. And the Apostle Paul writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful. Temptations to sin are real. Temptations not to look to God, but just to look to this world are real. Satan is real. So be watchful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. There are so many blessings we could thank God for. We have so many earthly blessings in this country. But better than all that Australia gives us at its best is what Jesus gives us. If you want to be reminded of this afternoon, you could read through the first half of Colossians to get more of a feel for it. And we'll see things like, through Christ's death for us and resurrection, we've been forgiven. We've been reconciled to God. We've been made into God's holy people. We have new life. We've been raised to new life in Christ. We have so much to be thankful for. And through Christ, we have direct access into the throne room of heaven. The ruler of the universe listens to our prayers. So let's use that access. Pray. And then Paul follows up with a specific prayer request. He says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. The Apostle Paul writes this. Asking ordinary Christians, everyday Christians, to pray for him. This is the guy who God inspired to write nearly half the New Testament. This is the guy who has already planted multiple churches. Surely if anyone would know how to do evangelism without getting extra help, if anybody would have it under control by now, it would be Paul, wouldn't it? But Paul asked for prayer for God to open doors for the message. Paul asks for prayer that he may proclaim the message clearly. If Paul needed prayer, I know our team here need prayer. Please pray for them. Please pray for cross-cultural missionaries taking the message of Jesus around the world. Please pray for me and my team as we seek to proclaim Christ on campus and other works happening as well. I mean, I actually used to be embarrassed about asking for prayer as a pastor or gospel worker, because pastors and missionaries, we're nothing special. But the Word of God is special. So please pray for us as we proclaim Jesus Christ. Pray for God to open doors for the message. Thank you, Dan, for praying for the access to universities and for God to open doors there. And pray that we will proclaim Christ clearly, as we should. People need to know the true message of Jesus Christ, his death for us, his resurrection, all the hope we have in him. Anything else is side distractions. Pray that we will proclaim Christ clearly as we should. And can I ask for something else to be praying for proclaimers? It's not from this passage, it's from another one we looked at earlier in the month. Please pray that God will raise up more people to publicly proclaim Christ. I am praying that God will raise up multiple pastors and evangelists from here amongst us at East Fremantle Baptist. Pray. Pray. Pray for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul asks for prayer because he knows that he should proclaim the whole mystery of Christ clearly. And what does Paul say everyday Christians should do? Does our text say that, and you all must proclaim the whole mystery of Christ like I do? Is that what our text says? If you remember the reading earlier, I think it says something different. He doesn't tell every Christian that they must be proclaimers like he does. If he did, I think we'd all just give up. Because who can proclaim Jesus Christ like the Apostle Paul did? He doesn't tell us that we've all got to be doing things the same way, which just leads to us, I think, dissolving in guilt and shame and cycles of being stuck. I'm not going to be able to proclaim the whole message of Christ like Paul. But after calling them to prayer, Paul calls everyday Christians in Colossae to do something different from what he's proclaiming, but still to be proactive, to be on the field, part of his evangelism team. Paul writes, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." I love this little sentence in verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. It calls us to do two things. We're called to be wise. Be sensitive to the situation, sensitive to who you're talking to. Listen as well as talking. Be wise. And secondly, we're called to make the most of every opportunity. And there are also two dangers for us here. Just think for yourself, which of these two dangers are you more susceptible to? One danger is that we could be so eager to make the most of the opportunities. Look, here's a chance to talk, so go. That we are not wise in the way we speak about Jesus. But the other danger is that we could be so worried about being unwise that we do not take any opportunities to speak about Jesus, let alone making the most of every opportunity. But there are opportunities. I'm encouraged these days, convinced that at the moment there are increasing opportunities to speak about Christ. At uni, we find uni students, most students, they're open at least to having an initial conversation about Jesus and faith. That they're much more open to these initial conversations than students were in the late 1990s when I went to uni. And it's not only the younger crew. When they do surveys with older people, they find they're increasingly open to considering faith, especially when they go through a significant change like moving house or relationship end through bereavement or separation. And overall, they reckon that nearly 4 in 10 Australians are open to accepting an invitation to attend a church service from if they get the invitation from a friend or family member. That's from National Church Life Survey's community survey, found 37% of Australians are open to an invitation to church from someone they know. And they're even more open at Christmas and Easter. To use the language you looked at the other week, there are a lot of people of peace out there. Lots of people open to considering Christ. Brothers and sisters, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And we are all called to wisely make the most of every opportunity, which means speaking about Jesus, speaking about his people, speaking about what difference he's made to your life. But maybe you're worried about what to say. Maybe you feel you don't know enough. What would happen if they asked you a question you can't answer? Our next verse in our passage gives us some really helpful instructions for these conversations. And there's an amazing promise at the end. I want to look at the promise first. Do you see the promise? It says, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't you like to know how to answer everyone? And so what do you need to have to be able to answer everyone? Is it a theology degree? Do you need to pass a test to get our words perfect to know how to answer people? No, what does Paul write here to everyday Christians? Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Don't need to pass a test or do a whole degree or to know how to answer everyone. You need lots of grace and a seasoning of salt. As you talk about Jesus, as you're building relationships with people who don't know Jesus yet, let your conversation be full of grace. Grace in the way you talk, grace in the way you listen. Be gracious. Let your manner be full of grace. And also, let what you say be full of grace, because we're on about God's grace to us, not about how good we are or what we've done. It's God's grace to us in Jesus. But most of all, let your manner be full of grace. But that doesn't mean our conversation should be bland and forgettable. Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt. What does salt do? It flavours. It adds flavour. It adds taste. It stops food from being bland. Salt also preserves. Salt helps food stay good for longer. So if you're adding a seasoning of salt, you're adding something that people will notice and that will stick with them for a bit. Add a bit of salt, adding some Jesus flavour to the conversation. Our conversation is to be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Not full of force, overcome with salt, because we've poured the entire salt shaker over everything. Okay. Seasoned with salt means we share a little thing about Jesus that may stick with people, but it doesn't mean we try to take over the conversation. I've heard it illustrated, if somebody opens the door for you to say something, you step in, say a little bit, then you offer, then you step back and see if they want to open the door further or not. It doesn't mean you drop your shoulder and charge in through the door to tell them everything. And sometimes people will pick up on the Jesus flavour and want to talk about it right away. Sometimes a friend might come or talk or ask a question later. Other times we won't get any response at all. But that doesn't mean we failed. That's okay. Think about the parable of the sower. God calls us to be involved in scattering seed. As the seed of God's word goes out, some lands on the path and is snatched away straight away before there's any response at all. Some seed lands on rocky ground or amongst the weeds and shows an initial response, but then, despite encouraging signs, people turn away from Jesus. Another seed lands on good soil and produces a wonderful harvest. We're not there to force the response. We're there to scatter the seed. And some of the seed we scatter will land with people of peace. Being a faithful and valuable member of Jesus' evangelism team means praying. Must mean praying. And it also means wisely taking opportunities with conversations full of grace, seasoned with Jesus' flavour. To do this wisely, wisdom tells us that, hey, we're not all the same, are we? This will look different for different Christians. There are people who have really deep and long conversations, even in really early relationships with people. Last month, I watched one of our CU students have a conversation about Jesus with a Hindu guy he'd just met at our store. And the conversation went for over an hour and went really deep into the... I'd actually learned something about theoretically discussions, evangelistic discussions with Hindus. And this guy did nothing at all of what I've learned was the theoretical best thing to do. But it just happened. And he just had a gift, and that you could watch, see the body language. The Hindu guy was really getting into it, and the Christian Union guy skipped class so he could keep the conversation going for the whole hour. I don't think I could have talked about Jesus in the way that student did. If he was scattering a seed, he was scattering an avocado seed sort of size thing, you know, big thing. I could praise the Lord for him. I could pray for him. But I don't need to feel bad because I'm not scattering seed in the same way as that. I pray for opportunities to scatter smaller seeds. You know, a few sentences in a story or two. You could picture them as little pumpkin seed type seeds. But small seeds are great too. You could scatter a sentence mentioning Jesus when you get an opportunity. God can and will use that. The main thing is that we scatter seeds so that people can hear about Jesus, so people of peace can show themselves. Here are a few little seeds I borrowed from the evangelist, Glenn Scrivener. You could try scattering them into conversations with non-Christians, but it's actually also good to practice talking about these with other Christians. One of his suggested seeds is, that's what I love about Jesus. If people are talking about leadership, you know, wow, and Jesus is a servant leader, that's the sort of leader I'd like to see, or talking about caring for people who are struggling. That's what I'll just pick one aspect you love about Jesus that sticks with you, be different for you from just with me. Or another one is, without Jesus, I couldn't have got through what's been hard for you. People are often actually really interested in hearing how your faith helped you in hard times. Or, that's what I love about my church. Let me tell you just one thing I love about my church. I love our home group. I've especially loved, it's been a privilege to walk with Raymond and Jan Shanhun through Jan's journey with cancer. And seeing how their faith helps them. And how their faith has grown through this time even. And also love the way they graciously take opportunities to speak about the difference Jesus makes at this time with their friends, with their family, with their neighbours. There are lots of other things I love. I love sharing life. I love hearing the way God's using people in their workplaces. I love hearing about members of the group scattering little seeds in conversations or giving Christian books to their friends. And I love the way people pray for one another. It's a bit of a prayer thing, right? And pray for friends and family who don't yet know Jesus. We're all called to scatter little seeds. When I was working as a graduate engineer, I got myself in a pattern of hiding my faith at work. It wasn't very honest, hiding something that's so big in my life, and I knew it wasn't good. But I was sort of stuck. So I prayed about my witness at work. And I asked the Bible study group I was in at the time to pray as well. And I also started praying actually for God to send another Christian to my workplace. And after a while, God sent Rory and then Shelley, and it was such an encouragement. And then God also helped me to be able to scatter little seeds about Jesus, only tiny ones. Rory was much better at having bigger conversations. Including with a draftsman called Shane, who was looking interested. It looked like Shane could be a person of peace, and we kept praying. And when Shane got married, his fiance wanted to get married in a really pretty church. And the really pretty church had a pastor who said, yes, we'll do that, we'll do marriage prep, and I'll also do a course explaining Christianity. And Shane and his fiance joined the church. Now, I can't tell you whether they turned out to be good soil for the gospel in the end, but there were definitely sprouts there. And I can also tell you that I didn't do very much. Rory and the pastor had all the important conversations, but I was part of the team. I prayed. and I scattered just little seeds. God answered the prayer through Rory and the pastor, but I was privileged to be in God's evangelism team. We're going to pray now, and sometimes I'm going to pause for you to, in the prayer, for you to take name specific people who you know in your lives and take them to God. We'll pray for people called to be proclaimers for ourselves and for people around us who don't yet know Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, mighty, loving God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the forgiveness and the life and the future you give us in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you hear our prayers. Lord, we thank you for the people you have called to publicly proclaim the wonderful news of Jesus. We thank you for Pastor Dan. We pray for Joel and the team at Youth, for Kate and the team at Kids Church. We pray like for missionaries like the Becks and the Fishers around the world. Lord, we pray for others we know who are proclaiming Christ. Lord, please open doors for their message. Help them to proclaim the message of Christ clearly as they should. Help them to persevere in proclaiming your truth, even when it's hard. And loving God, we pray for ourselves. Help us to be people of prayer. Grow in us a devotion to prayer. Help us to be wise in the way we act towards outsiders and to make the most of every opportunity. Lord, you know the people in the places where you have put us. You know the people we see at home, in our neighbourhood, in our places of work or study, our places of recreation. Lord, we name and bring these people before you now. Lord, help us to love them well and to share seeds of Jesus' truth with them. Lord, shape the way we speak so that we will always be gracious, seasoned with salt, with that flavour of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for potential people close to us, those we know now who we can name. And we pray for more who you will bring into our lives. Lord, use us on your evangelism team, but most of all, open their eyes to see Jesus. Make them good soil and bring them to new life in your kingdom with Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord, who died to save us. Amen.